Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' 26-14 victory over the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday Night Football. We'll discuss the trade the Lions made at the trade deadline, as well as how other trades could impact Detroit this year. Plus, we'll talk with former Lions running back Billy Sims. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast that drops on Mondays. James, as usual, it is good to have you here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, as we get into it, I just want to remind the listeners, hit that subscribe and like button because it is helping us build momentum. James, let's start talking about that Monday night victory against the Raiders, and then we'll get into the trade. What did you like about that Raiders game?
Well, Jahmyr Gibbs. To start off with, that he just had a huge game, 152 yards and a touchdown, just was everywhere. So that first and foremost, it was really nice to see that.
Yeah, he had 5.8 yards a carry, and that was behind an offensive line that was missing three starters, which makes it even that much more impressive.
Yeah, and Craig Reynolds averaged 5.3, 74 yards.
For the number two guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. The rushing attack was there. I can't believe they rushed for more than 200 yards. That was awesome. That was probably what carried the offense at different points, moving the ball between the 20s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jared Goff was pretty efficient, you know, 26 to 37. That's pretty good numbers. So he was, especially in contrast to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, I think Jimmy Garoppolo threw for like 77 yards once you factor in the sacks.
Yeah. Yeah, once you take out the sacks, yeah, 77 yards.
Well, another thing I liked was, I guess, our defense. You brought up Garoppolo. We sacked him six times. And another thing that stuck out to me, I didn't realize this till after the game I looked, it surprised me. The Lions did not allow a run for more than 9 yards, which shocked me because that drive in the second quarter when the Lions got run all over down the field, I was like, oh, this could get ugly. But the Lions defense stepped up.
Yeah, and surprisingly, one of those 9-yard runs was Jimmy Garoppolo. It was the most awkward 9-yard run I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get 4 on that at most. I was actually quite impressed he got 9. But yeah, were there any defensive players that stood out to you?
Alex Anzalone. He has just continued to just pick up his game, I guess. You know, I mean, he was solid last year, but this year he seems to be just everywhere on defense for them. Jack Campbell made some plays. Brian Branch came back, made some plays. Tracy Walker was in there. And Aleem McNeil. The other one. I mean, with the two sacks. But Anzalone bringing two sacks of his own, you know, on blitzes. He's really kind of turned himself into, you know, I don't want to say one of the top linebackers in the NFL, but he's in the conversation there for, you know, maybe not all pro, but maybe a Pro Bowl spot.
Well, and that's something I don't think any Lions fans could ever have envisioned 2 years ago. And many of them were surprised that the Lions kept him around and then again, and he's continued to grow as a player. So I would agree that that's got to be extremely impressive, not just for accomplishing those stats, but for the growth of the player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, 7 tackles, 5 solo, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 quarterback hits.
That's a busy game. That's a complete body of work.
That's a nice stat line for a linebacker.
And then Aleem McNeil continues to just kind of trend upward. It's great seeing that. And then I think, I don't know if you saw the post game, but the game ball was given to Aaron Glenn, and he took that game ball and gave it to his starting outside defensive backs. And that was pretty cool. It's great having Jerry Jacobs back out there. Him and Cam Sutton combined played a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like normal, you didn't hear Cam Sutton's name a whole lot because they didn't throw to him.
That might be one of our best offseason signings. He has just lived up to everything we hoped he would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson looked like he was going to be that guy. And then with the injury, obviously not. But they're hoping maybe he's back for the playoffs.
So another thing I liked was the coaching by the Lions. Dan Campbell and the team, they made great decisions. They didn't go too aggressive when they didn't need to. And a lot of times you don't always see that. You often hear from teams second guessing their coaches. I don't have any second guessing.
Yeah, they didn't need to go super aggressive in this game because they knew that they were the prohibitive favorites in this game. So, you know, you saw Dan Campbell take field goals in situations where a lot of times he normally doesn't take field goals and he would be going for it. You know, but he took those three early field goals just figuring, hey, we're the way better team here. We're going to win this out. Let's just get some points on the board. And, you know, when they got that first touchdown was kind of when things started feeling real safe.
For sure. I agree with that. And that first touchdown was a little bit like, whew, okay. Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything you didn't like in this game? I mean, let's be honest here. Let's remember the Lions are doing great. We are thrilled. We have not seen a team like this in forever. And so we still want to ask, though, is there anything you didn't like, didn't love?
Jameson Williams didn't really impress much, I guess. Had another bad drop, and then bad enough that they traded for a quarterback. We'll get into that, or traded for a wide receiver. We'll get into that later. Other than that, there's not really a whole lot bad. I mean, they had a couple of injuries towards the end of the game that could be a factor down the road. I mean, certainly losing their long snapper for what seems to be a long period of time is going to have to be something that they're going to have to remedy. And losing Khalil Dorsey, you know, is, you know, loses your return guy and another guy valuable on coverage units and a depth defensive back.
For sure. I agree with all those points. You know, Jameson Williams did have a nice catch about 20 yards down the field. I thought that was a pretty good one. I'd like to see them try and get the ball to him in that range more. They did try running the ball with him, but rather than putting one guy on Max Crosby or two guys on Max Crosby, they tried a different strategy. They put zero guys on Max Crosby on that play. It didn't work out too well. It was a 6-yard loss.
Yeah, that was a little weird that they did that. They did that multiple times where they just left him alone and like didn't put anybody on him. And they ran the play right at him that time. I was like, what are you doing? That just seemed like an odd decision. I wonder if they thought maybe they'd catch him off guard and figuring that putting nobody on him, he'd figure there's no way the play is coming that way or something.
Yeah, they were hoping he would go for the quarterback and miss the handoff or something. I also would have liked, you know, another touchdown or two instead of those field goals in the red zone. I understand why. I'm glad they didn't go for it on fourth down and got the points, like you said. But it would have been nice to just punch it in a little bit more there. What are your thoughts on the kicking game with the Lions? They had four field goals. They were looking great, but then they missed a 26-yarder. Does that bother you? How are you feeling about Riley Patterson?
I'm not that worried about it. He made the long one. He made the ones early in the game when there was arguably a lot more pressure on. He missed the one later after the game was there was already some separation there. And it looked like he just kind of was just a little too nonchalant about it. Just went about it a little too easy and didn't get it right. So I'm not too worried.
All right. I'm not worried either. I mean, we've seen worse in the last couple of years, a little more volatility in the kicking game. I'm pretty happy with where we're at on that. So let's
hitting a 52. What did he hit from 52?
Yes, he did.
Seeing him hit that and with a decent amount of distance on the end of that. I mean, it would have been good from a lot longer than that. That was good to see.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's look at a pivotal moment or two. I think one pivotal moment that stands out to me is, and it's kind of two in one here, I would say it's how the Lions responded to two situations. The methodical running drive by the Raiders in the second quarter that resulted in a touchdown. The Lions responded with a touchdown of their own with only like 2 minutes or so left on the clock to come back and do that, maybe 3 minutes. The other was after Goff threw the pick six, the Lions marched all the way back down the field and they got into the red zone of the Raiders. Now, I don't think they scored then, but I like the response, how they went back down the field, and they responded to both of those Raiders scores. So the Lions, they came back and they didn't just get stuck and allow the things to start to spiral. So I like the responses to those.
Yeah, and that was nice to see. The Lions dominating time of possession was nice. I'm almost 2-1.
That's impressive. That plays a difference in that fourth quarter too.
Yeah, I mean the Raiders just had just didn't seem to have any juice, and the Lions defense had all the answers to them.
Well, a major storyline's coming out of this game. I think the first one you've already touched on is the injuries, right? Long snapper Scott Daly was injured on that 26-yard field goal attempt, and apparently I think he's having surgery. The Lions have put him on IR. They did that today, and so that's something to keep an eye on because you need to have a long snapper. So if they'll bring somebody in or what they'll do with that. And then you said Khalil Dorsey got hurt as well, so I'll have to look to see who's going to replace him. Probably somebody already on the roster, or that new addition could play a role as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, McQuaid, the other long snapper that they had in camp, didn't get picked up by anybody else. So I think that they'll probably look there first, maybe.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess the only other major storyline I have at this point is the Lions are 6-2 at the bye week. And that's pretty major. I think we talked before the season started, and I think I even asked you, would you be happy if the Lions were 6-2 at the bye? And you said yes, because what Lions fan wouldn't say that? And I am happy they're 6-2, and I'm thrilled, and I don't care if they got destroyed by Baltimore a couple weeks ago. That is an awesome record, and it's not been often that we've been able to say the Lions have that record.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last time they started off that well. It's been quite a while. But yeah, I'm completely happy with 6-2 at the break. They got, you know, so they got a week to get healthy. They got a week to maybe get some guys back, and a week to get their trade acquisition worked into the lineup.
Well, let's go there then. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Lions made a trade with Cleveland for wide receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones. That's a name that's quite familiar to Michigan fans, at least it should be. He was drafted by the Browns in the sixth round back in 2020, and he's in the final year of his contract, and that's what the Lions are giving up for him, a sixth-round pick. But that's not going to come until the 2025 draft. General Manager Brad Holmes talked about the move today.
Yeah, well, he brings versatility. He's a big guy. He's got good contested catch skills. He can play outside. He can play inside. He's a very smart player. He's been very, very durable. He fits everything that we're about. So I think he'll fit in just fine. He's another flavor that we're adding to our mix. And so it's a lot of things that he can do for us. And, you know, we'll just see how quickly we can get him acclimated.
James, what are your thoughts about this trade?
I mean, I like it. I mean, you know, they had to replace Marvin Jones with somebody. And I think that this is a good replacement. I think an upgrade over Marvin Jones, the production that we saw from him early in the season. I think he's could be a guy who can be the number two receiver if needed. You know, if Jameson Williams doesn't come on, you know, I think he's at least a Josh Reynolds, if not maybe potentially a little bit better. So he just gives them nice, good depth at wide receiver. I think it was Dan Campbell during his press conference said, you know, wide receiver is one of those positions where they're just one injury away from not having a whole lot. You know, if Amon-Ra St. Brown is out for a significant period of time, you know, can they lean on Jameson Williams or Josh Reynolds as a number one? I don't know about that. So just having that depth there, he fits character-wise. Locker room wise, like the other wide receivers that they have, he's a good run blocker, which is something that they really like and value in their wide receivers. And he can return punts and kicks. So he kind of steps into that Khalil Dorsey role, can at least. And he's kind of a big play threat. I mean, he's got a career average of 15.7 yards per catch. So he can make the big play. He's a decent, 6'2", so he's a decent sized receiver, not a small guy, and has a huge vertical. So he can be, a red zone target for you too.
Yeah, I quite like the move. I mean, let's look at all these different things. He's just 24 years old. He's kind of been the number two receiver in Cleveland the last couple of years. even though he hasn't done a whole lot this year. But Cleveland's had more of a running-based offense, and I think that probably contributes to it.
And their quarterback play has been very suspect this season, too. So, you know, his stats being way down this season might not even be him. I mean, Deshaun Watson has been pretty bad.
If he's even played. Yeah, exactly. It's been a turnstile. I think they've had three different starting quarterbacks. Well, another thing is, as we are approaching this trade deadline, you and I have been texting back a decent amount, and I was thinking the Lions might target a wide receiver just because, as you said, with Marvin Jones leaving, that hit the depth area a little bit. Jameson Williams hasn't gone as quickly forward as many people are hoping, and I actually thought DJ Chark might be a possible guy to bring back, but I like this move even more because I like the history of Donovan Peoples-Jones with the state of Michigan. He didn't just go to Michigan. He's from Michigan as well. You talked about the type of player he is. He's 3 years younger. He's got that hometown connection. And he's had a more durable career so far. And also, I think he's kind of similar to what the Lions were hoping they were going to maybe get out of that Denzel Mims move in the offseason. But Donovan Peoples-Jones has actually had more success at this point as well. And so, as you said, this is pretty exciting for the depth, because it almost just bumps everything up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, yeah, he's a Detroit, grew up in Detroit, went to Detroit Cass Tech in high school, you know, and then played at Michigan, as everybody knows. So I think there's a decent chance that he re-signs with the team at a reasonable price. I mean, you know, he's not a number one type wide receiver, so he's not going to be one that's going to say, hey, I need $10 million to re-sign. So, and maybe they get a little bit of a hometown discount on him.
And you know what? This could be kind of like the Josh Reynolds deal we got 2 years ago, which wasn't a trade, but we picked him off of waivers in the first season with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. And so I love the addition. I was hoping they would do something at wide receiver. And I know people are wondering, what about our biggest need? Yeah, defensive back or defensive end. Those were probably our bigger needs. And I know defensive back due to injury, and people were wondering about defensive line because we weren't getting enough sacks, and they wonder about the pressures. But in the time leading up to the deadline, you've talked about this as well. The Lions could get a wide receiver much cheaper than it would be if you were going to try and get a defensive end or a defensive back. A quality one of those was going to come at a much higher cost, and that might only be for an 8-game rental. You already talked about Donovan Peoples-Jones. That's a guy the Lions will probably look to re-sign. But that being said, some fans are probably left still being frustrated with the Lions not getting defensive help. And Brad Holmes commented on that. Here's what he had to say.
We look at every position. You know, a lot of these names that you might see pop up, you know, they look good in the media, and they are names, but that's often it's not reality. Those same names that you see pop up, you know, when you start getting into conversations, it just doesn't work out for the best for us. So, you know, every team has a different plight. Every team's in a different place, different direction, different phase in their team building. But no, there's nothing that we leave unturned or ignored or anything. We look at every position, look at everything, and you know, this was the best one for us.
And you know, adding to what Brad Holmes said, Coach Campbell also added about this as well and talked about the chemistry of the team.
Ultimately, we said, Brad and I said from day one, man, we have a plan in place that we don't want to alter. We don't want to mess with that. And we're in year three of this right now, or beginning of year three, and everything had to be right. I just go back. It had to be the right player. It had to be the right fit, and it had to be the right price, all three of those. And that's not an easy thing to do, but that's how we look at it. And so, you know what? We found one.
So, James, hearing Campbell and Holmes talk and give those explanations, how do you feel about what the Lions did and said in the end, only getting a wide receiver?
You know, I mean, the receiver that they got is a good receiver that gives them the added depth that they needed, and at a very reasonable price. I mean, a 2025 sixth round pick is the equivalent of a 2024 fourth round or seventh round pick. So, you know, they got him for next to nothing. They got a hometown guy. They got a character guy. So it checks off all the boxes that they want. The defensive linemen that you saw traded today on deadline day, those were guys who went for high draft picks. And, you know, Chase Young went for a third round pick and people were like, oh yeah, they only had to give up a third round pick for him. But it, like, look at how many games he's missed in the last couple of seasons due to injury. There's a reason why it was only a third round pick for a guy who was a top five pick in the draft just a couple of years ago.
Well, not only that, Chase Young is in the final year of his contract. And so they're kind of doing what the Rams did with Von Miller. And if they want to keep Chase Young next year, they're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And that's the other thing, is some of these players are going to get big contracts after this year. So Chase Young went to the 49ers. The Vikings traded for quarterback Josh Dobbs. The Bears got Montez Sweat. That's just a mind-boggling one, because the Bears are just, I don't know what they are right now, and trading for him was confusing. Seattle got defensive lineman Leonard Williams. That is a good move by them. And then recently Kansas City traded to get Mecole Hardman back, just looking that they needed some help there. What are your thoughts on some of those moves?
Yeah, the Leonard Williams one is a nice one for the Seahawks. I mean, they gave up, I think it was two draft picks for him, like two mid-round draft picks. The Chase Young one, you know, it reunites him with Bosa, who he played with in college. And I guess Bosa really pushed the 49ers to acquire him. So maybe he does stay there. Maybe he's going to be happy there and stay there. Is he a fit in Detroit? I don't know. You know, between the injuries and other questions about him, I don't know that he's a fit. Montez Sweat is an interesting one, but it's like, who expected the Bears to be buyers at the trade deadline? They have to be thinking of keeping him long term and being part of their long term plans for this. And they gave up a second round pick for him.
Well, I think you said it right there with a couple of things. Montez Sweat and Chase Young, those guys are going to get some big contracts next year, likely, or at least some significant ones. The 49ers have a quarterback that's on a rookie deal, so they can afford to do something like that. The Lions are going to have some players they're going to have to start paying possibly as early as next year. And so if the player is not a close fit, it makes sense to maybe not do that. Now, Chase Young makes the 49ers better. Montez Sweat, I'm not worried about his influx on the Bears, Josh Dobbs on the Vikings so much. Seattle getting Leonard Williams, that one also. Those are a couple teams that are competing for the same division, and they're going to be competing with the Lions for the NFC seeds. So those teams are going to get a little bit better. But the Lions, you know what? They're expecting James Houston to come back. So they could get a little bit more help on their defensive line, and they have some depth. They might not have the household name outside of Aiden Hutchinson that everybody knows outside of the state, but they have a pretty darn good team.
Yeah, they've got a lot of depth on that defensive line. And you notice most of the guys who got traded today were defensive linemen, which tells you that the prices were too high on any defensive backs who were potential trade targets. There you go for everybody who wanted a defensive back, which includes me. I wanted them to pick up another corner and just have some more depth there.
I did too.
Saw when Jerry Jacobs got hurt, you know, how that defense looked, you know, and just imagine if Cam Sutton gets hurt. You know, that whole defense changes, you know, because of the loss of Mosley and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They're thin at quarterback a little bit.
Well, and, you know, I brought up the Josh Reynolds signing. He was a player acquired off of waivers, though, not traded for, but off of waivers. And so I got to ask you, when was the last time the Lions were buyers at the trade deadline? Like, I'm racking my brain right now. I remember them trading away Golden Tate at the trade deadline. We all know TJ Hockenson last year. But do you remember the last time them even bringing somebody in at the trade deadline?
I don't really recall. No, I remember them trading away Slay and Diggs and all those kind of guys. But the last time they actually traded for someone at the deadline has been a long time.
So that's how good this move is. That tells you where our team is and the fact that we added to it. And you know, again, we hear a lot of people second guessing the Lions move here. And I ask you guys this, if you had been given the Lions GM job 3 years ago, would you have the team where it is today? Can you believe the job that's been done? Let's just go back to the draft. They highlighted all the players that were taken in the first and second round of the draft this year by the Lions and what they did on Monday Night Football. And I think Coach Campbell said it perfectly. They have a plan and they don't want to alter from that plan.
Yeah. And I don't think that you know, that plan involves trading high draft picks away at the deadline. You know, like you said, they're going to have to they're going to have to re-sign some players to some big contracts here pretty soon. You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Goff potentially, Jonah Jackson if they want to keep him. You know, and they're going to have to renegotiate some other players. You know, within a couple of years, they're going to have to sign Hutchinson. He'll get a huge contract in like 2 years. So, you know, they're going to have to spend some money. So they're going to have to be thrifty where they can to be able to keep those guys.
That makes a lot of sense. Exciting that they were able to make a trade today, adding depth at a position that could be one of concern down the stretch. So let's turn to our final segment. We had the chance to speak with former Detroit Lions running back Billy Sims, who's actually going to be making an appearance in Southeast Michigan this coming weekend. Here's the interview, and then we'll be back to wrap things up. Joining me today is Billy Sims, the 1978 Heisman Trophy winner out of the University of Oklahoma. He was the first overall pick in the 1980 NFL draft by the Detroit Lions. Billy was Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1980 and ranks number 2 in rushing yards in Detroit Lions history and is a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, we're going to talk some football, and then we're going to talk some barbecue with Billy Sims today. Thank you so much for joining the show, Billy.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, now let's work up that appetite for the listeners and talk football before we get to the food menu.
Right, right. How about those Lions?
Hey, they are a pretty exciting team to watch right now, aren't they?
No question about it. It's a long time overdue.
Well, let's start with your start with the Detroit Lions. Billy, you had 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 16 total touchdowns in 1980. Those are amazing stats, especially considering it was your rookie year. So let me ask you, what were your expectations heading into that rookie season with the Detroit Lions?
Well, really, you know, when you go first round, first pick, sound pretty good until they tell you where you was going. And I'm like, oh, man, they had won but one game. I'm not used to this. But, you know, everything worked out well. And, of course, my first game was against the L.A. Rams. I had a great debut with the team support. And the rest was history after that.
Well, Billy, all these years later, a number of players have laced up shoes for the Detroit Lions at that running back spot. But to this day, you are still the player with the second most rushing yards and the second most rushing touchdowns for the Detroit Lions in team history. And we know success in college doesn't always mean you'll be good at the next level. What was your key to success?
Well, just supporting cast that I had there. Matter of fact, I had a former teammate of mine that was there a year or two before I got there, an offensive lineman, and I knew he could block. So the fact of we was a pretty decent, good running team, you know, and at the time I was there. And it all depend, you know, with other guys up in their game a little bit, and myself coming in there used to winning and have success coming from a school like Oklahoma.
All right. Well, you mentioned it right away, your impact on the organization. The Lions were only 2-14 when they drafted you, and that's one of those things when you're drafted number one overall. But in your rookie season, the Lions went 9-7. They narrowly missed the playoffs, but you helped them get to their first winning record in nearly a decade. Do you have any favorite memories from that rookie season?
Well, just the fact that I had a great offensive lineman in front of me with good supporting cast around me. And, you know, that's why it's called a team, not an individual situation. And I thought we was pretty good. And probably about my 83 season probably was my best season when we win a division. And, of course, go out to California and end up losing by field goal.
That's tough. The Lions have seen those field goals be difference makers even as recently as a year and two ago.
I'm sure.
Well, you brought that up. 1982, 1983, the Lions made the playoffs, and then they were the division champs. You were a division champ winning the NFC Central in 1983. The Lions have only won their division three times since 1958. That was that 83 season, the 91 season, and the 93 season. So what did it mean for you to win the division with the Detroit Lions?
Well, I thought we had a great team myself and a great coaching staff, and it wasn't all about just about me. But we had a chance to go out there to play the 49ers, actually, and had them on the ropes, just couldn't finish it, and they end up, you know, losing by a field goal. With the Lions and the fan, we had great fan support because that was back in the Silver Dome days then at that time period. But one thing about the Lions fan base, regardless, they always come out in support, for sure.
They definitely do, and you're seeing a lot of it this year because this year's team is currently in first place in the NFC North and trying to win a division title. What are you making of this year's team?
Unreal. They got a great supporting cast of people there, starting with the head coach, and I'm just overwhelmed due to the fact it's a long time overdue, because what I really found out when I first got there, that the support for the Lions has been there forever, and the fans have come out regardless of what the record is, and great fan support means a lot to players.
That's awesome to hear that, and they are getting that full fan support, as we know there's been fans for decades, if not more than decades, and now and we have endured.
Yeah.
And now it's pretty exciting because it's like, okay, it's finally our turn.
Right. It's been a long time overdue, that's for sure. I guarantee you on that one.
Now, are there any players that you admire their game from the Lions' current rosters? Anyone that jumps out that you like watching play?
Well, just all of them. You know, that's why they call it a team. Even when I was there, I always liked to spread the wealth around. It wasn't all about just one guy when I was there. But I think the head coach and his people was definitely having the players going in the right direction.
If there's an NFL team that epitomizes the word team right now, it probably is the Detroit Lions, the way they all play together and the mentality that Dan Campbell has for them.
Oh, without a doubt. It started with the head coach at the top, and it trickled on down to around the players.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to food here for a moment here. You're now running Billy Sims Barbecue, and if I counted correctly, you've got 36 restaurants in about 6 different states, but folks don't have to go all the way to Oklahoma for some good barbecue. One of your restaurants is located right here in Michigan, just outside of Detroit, in Troy, Michigan.
Yes, in Troy. Actually, at one time, I was for about 5 years, I had one in the stadium there in Detroit. My first one was in Southfield, Michigan, when I first started the business. Been at the business about 20 years now. I didn't realize I was going to last that long, but just again, it's all about the teamwork and supporting cast that we have.
Awesome. Now, what gave you the idea for opening the restaurant?
Actually, I have a partner who's from Kansas City, and we became friends. Actually, he used to be in some other business. I would go sign autographs in his memorabilia stores. And it was his kind of idea about the barbecue business, which I really didn't want to get involved due to the fact that I know if that food's not any good, they're going to be looking at me, not him. But through ups and downs and this and that, at one time before the pandemic, we was at about 63 stores.
And, wow.
Yeah, I know. And of course, due to the pandemic and other things, we were still in it. It's been at it 20 years. And again, it's all about the supporting cast of people that work for Billy Sims Barbecue, and it's all about me.
Awesome. Well, I have not made it to your restaurant, but I did a little poking around at the menu. And with me, I think the Polish sausage sandwich is probably the item that would speak to me the most. That would be my choice. But I'm wondering.
It's pretty good.
Is it good? Well, it looks good. And I think I'm going to have to get one of those next time I'm over in that area. But I'm wondering, is there a most popular choice among your customers that you see?
Well, of course, the Heisman sandwich is real popular. And with the ribs are good and basically a little bit of everything. I just didn't realize how 20 years later, started this back in 2004, believe it or not, and up until now, we're still doing the barbecue and just blessed we have a good product out there.
That's awesome. And yeah, with the sandwich called the Heisman, I'm sure that would have been my favorite when I was a little bit younger as well. do you have a favorite meal?
Well, I try to try everything, and everything's pretty good. I'm more of a brisket guy.
Okay.
If I'm gonna get something, then ribs, and people like pulled pork. I realized when I first started this business, I probably was trying about 100 barbecue places around the country just to get some idea about different things. So it's definitely the brisket for me.
Nice, nice. And I like that you did your research around traveling to some different places to say, all right, what do you like? And trying to take the best of everything and make it your own.
Well, yeah, plus with the employees that was on board when we first started, we just getting little tips and ideas about those guys and what they like. And we kind of started like that way with whatever the employees would like. We passed it on to the customer, and it became a pretty big hit. And they just took off from there. And 20 years later, we're still at it.
That's nice. Now, I must admit, the thing that caught my attention the most, though, on your menu, it was a dessert menu, Billy Stacker. And you got a few choices there, but man, that cherry cheesecake is the one I would go for. That one looks delicious.
It is. It's probably one of our best sellers, the cherry cheesesteak.
All right. Now, if I'm not mistaken here, you're going to be at the restaurant in Troy this coming weekend. What's bringing you into town?
Right. Usually I go around the stores and do signing autographs and all that. And we got a big day coming up this weekend with autograph signing. And hopefully the fans will come out and try the food and get a picture taken or autograph and take it from there.
That would be awesome. You know, fans, listen, you're going to be able to see Billy this Friday, November 3rd, from 11 to 1 if you want to stop by for lunch, or he'll be back for dinner from 5 to 7. And if you can't make it on Friday, you're going to be back there on Saturday for another lunch option from 11 to 1.
Exactly. So hopefully I get to see some of the new fans and old fans.
Awesome. I anticipate you're going to have a number of fans out there. And with the way the Lions are playing, that's going to even give you more fun to talk about.
Well, without a doubt, I'm just happy and elated for the organization because it's definitely a long time overdue.
That it is. And you know what? It tastes just that much sweeter having to wait this long, doesn't it?
It really does. Because where I'm at in the state of Texas, you know, you don't have many Lions fans. Now, of course, Cowboys fans, you're going to have them down here.
That is true. So you're always cheering in enemy territory over there.
Well, that's okay. They might not like me, but they respect me.
Fair enough. Hey, Billy, any final thoughts before we wrap up the interview?
Well, hopefully Lions keep up the good work, and I believe they will. And for the state of Michigan, it's a long time overdue. We'll see what happens.
Absolute pleasure to speak with you.
All right.
Awesome. Well, Billy, safe travels here to Michigan, and go Lions.
All right. Go Lions. Thank you.
James, that was pretty great having the chance to speak to Billy. And I was surprised to learn that at one point he had 60 restaurants, 60 Billy Sims barbecue restaurants before COVID hit. And I was really sorry to hear he had to close so many. They've got about 35 or 36 of them. I also did not know that they had one open in the stadium at one point. And I've got to ask, have you ever eaten at Billy Sims barbecue?
I have not, but I'm going to have to try to go check it out.
Yeah, I have not either, but there is one in Troy. And so I'm thinking the next time I'm going to a Lions game, I mean, we're going to one later this year. Maybe we should try and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another thing of interest about Billy Sims. And this is something people might not realize because they just might not know how good this guy was because I never saw him play. He was a few years before my time. But this is really funny how things work out. The Detroit Lions tweeted this today. After the Monday night game against the Raiders and they won, on the following day, they tweeted that Jahmyr Gibbs had a great game. They tweeted this stat. They said, the Lions player with the most yards from scrimmage through 6 career games. And they listed the top 3 players on that list. Number 3, Jahmyr Gibbs with 564 yards. Pretty good number. Number 2 on that list, Barry Sanders. 569 yards. I think you know where we're going. Mm-hmm. Number 1 on that list was Billy Sims with how many yards do you think he had, James?
675.
914 yards. Think about that for a minute. That's an average of 150 yards a game in his first six games in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I know their star when I was just first starting to watch football when I was a kid. And man, for the first bit there, man, he was electric, and he was maybe one of the best running backs in the NFL until he tore his knee up. And back in those days, that was kind of a death sentence. Now it's not, but back then that was almost the end, pretty much.
Yeah, really impressive stats. Impressive football player that I wish I would have been able to see more firsthand. But awesome talking to him. Impressive things that he did with the Lions. As we talked about in the interview, he made them competitive while he was there. And so that was a great thing as well. Well, James, we're wrapping things up here. Any final thoughts on the last game, the trade deadline, and or where the Lions sit at the bye week?
Well, the trade deadline fell at a perfect time for the Lions because it gives them a week and a half to integrate Donovan Peoples-Jones into the offense and get him up to speed. So it's perfect timing from that standpoint. Whereas the Vikings, you know, they acquired Josh Dobbs and they've already announced that he's not going to be starting next week, you know, because they just can't get a guy into the offense that quickly. So they're going to have to go with their undrafted free agent quarterback for at least a week until they can get Dobbs in there.
Great points. Yeah, I think the bye week came at a great spot with the trade deadline as well as for some guys nursing injuries. We'll have to see who's coming back after the bye week. Again, love being 6-2. If you think about it, a year ago, we were 2-6 at this point. And so that is a nice flipping of the script, as I like to say. James, thanks again for being here to talk all things Detroit Lions. Remember, folks, you can catch James's work at therecord-eagle.com. James, have a good week and get a little bit of rest during this bye week.
I hope to, although, you know, this weekend, it's going to be the Iceman, so we've got to cover that or potentially a Leland State Championship soccer game on Saturday down in Grand Rapids. So it'll be a lot of travel Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, safe travels. The weather's turning colder. There was some snow falling, so could make the Iceman quite interesting. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. And please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.